endeavor. What you think? VOA Weather Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, I'll be joined by Dan Novak, Brian Lynn, and Anna Mateo. You'll hear from Dan about a new demonstration of a special camera you can swallow like a pill. Brian tells us about a problem with some important Chinese cities. They are sinking. And he tells us what engineers are trying to do about the problem. They may take some lessons from Japan. Then Anna and I bring you the Higher Education Report. It is almost time for graduation ceremonies in the U.S., but many schools are worried about protests. Anna also visits me to talk about one way to describe a person who does not beat around the bush. We hope you enjoy the show. Now here's Dan.
A new small robotic camera designed to be swallowed for use in medical examinations was recently demonstrated at a conference in Canada. The device, called PillBot, can be guided through a body remotely, meaning electronically from outside. Its creators hope the device will replace traditional endoscopies. An endoscopy is when a camera attached to a wire is directed down the throat and into a sleeping patient's stomach. The company Endiatics, based in Hayward, California, developed the device. The research hospital Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, is a partner in the project. The PillBot is designed to be the first motorized endoscopic camera. Here is how developers say it works. A patient does not eat for one day, then swallows the PillBot with lots of water. The PillBot acts like a small submarine controlled by a wireless remote control. When the exam is complete, the body will expel the PillBot in the same way it expels other solid waste. Dr. Vivek Kumbhari is co-founder of the company. He is professor of medicine and chairman of gastroenterology and hepatology at the Mayo Clinic. It is the latest step toward his larger goal of making complex medicine more accessible. If endoscopies can be moved from a hospital setting to a patient's home, he said, then I think we have achieved that goal. Use of the device would require fewer medical workers and no anesthesia, he said. The device provides a safer, more comfortable approach, he added. Kumbhari also said the technology is more efficient and permits people to get treatment earlier in the progress of a disease. Alex Lubke is the co-founder of Endiatics. He said the PillBot can help people in rural areas where medical centers and treatments are lacking. Especially in developing countries, there is no access to complex medical care, he said. So being able to have the technology gather all that information and provide you the solution even in remote areas, that's the way to do it. The micro-robotic pill is undergoing testing. It could come before the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for consideration in the coming months. If approved, the PillBot could be available by 2026. Kumbhari hopes the technology can be expanded to the bowels, vascular system, heart, liver, brain, and other parts of the body. I'm Dan Novak.
A new study suggests that nearly half of major cities in China show signs of sinking. The study is based on recent satellite data. It estimated that 45% of land in China's biggest cities currently suffers moderate to severe levels of sinking. Researchers say the situation puts millions of people at risk of flooding, especially as sea levels continue to rise. Writers of the study estimated nearly half of areas around Chinese cities were sinking at a rate of at least 3 millimeters per year, and about 16% of land around cities was found to be sinking at a rate of 10 millimeters per year, the researchers say. The team noted the sinking is linked largely to groundwater extraction and the weight of buildings. Researcher Ao Zurei and others at China's South China Normal University in Guangzhou led the study. Results of the research recently appeared in the publication Science. Ao told Reuters news agency that more than 900 million people live in Chinese cities. The sinking problems, he said, represent a growing threat to people in those areas. The study notes that sinking already costs China more than $1 billion in yearly losses. And within the next century, nearly 25% of coastal land could drop below sea levels. That would leave hundreds of millions of people at high risk of flooding. China's northern city of Tianjin has a population of 15 million people. It was identified as one of the worst-hit areas. Last year, 3,000 people had to leave the city after a sudden geological disaster linked to sinking. Investigators blamed the problem on water loss as well as the building of geothermal energy systems. It really brings home that this is, for China, a national problem and not a problem in just one or two places, said Robert Nichols. He is with the Tyndall Center for Climate Change Research at Britain's University of East Anglia. And it is a microcosm of what is happening around the rest of the world, Nichols added. A microcosm is an event or situation that is seen as a small version of something much larger. Another study published in February found that around 6.3 million square kilometers of land worldwide was at risk of continued sinking. One of the most affected nations is Indonesia. Large parts of the capital, Jakarta, are now below sea level. Nichols said at-risk cities could learn lessons from Tokyo. The Japanese capital city sank by about 5 meters until officials banned groundwater extraction in the 1970s. Nichols added that in some places, city officials will have to fight the problem by building systems to prevent flood damage. Of the 44 major coastal cities currently suffering from the problem, 30 were in Asia. That information comes from a 2022 study. Matt Wei is a geophysics expert at the University of Rhode Island. He told Reuters the problem is directly related to continued development and population growth in cities. It is also related to increased water extraction for human uses. I'm Brian Lynn.
New York City police recently arrested students at Columbia University who were protesting the war between Israel and Hamas. The University of Southern California, USC, in Los Angeles, canceled a graduation speech by the school's valedictorian, who is Muslim. And demonstrators set up camps on the grounds of the University of Michigan, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and Yale University in Connecticut. Harvard University near Boston closed Harvard Yard to outsiders. University leaders are worried the unrest will disrupt the usual celebrations surrounding graduation. Since the war between Israel and Hamas started, after Hamas's attack on Israel last October 7th, college leaders have struggled. They are unsure how to protect students and their freedom of speech. Recently, Columbia's president, Minouche Shafik, said the conflict in the Middle East is causing pain to both Jewish students and those who support Palestinians.
But we cannot have one group dictate terms and attempt to disrupt important milestones, like graduation, to advance their point of view, she wrote in a message to the community. College graduation ceremonies, known as commencements, have been marked by protests in the past. Last year, students at Boston University turned their backs on speaker David Zaslav in a show of support for Hollywood writers who were on strike. In 1990, students at the all-women's Wellesley College in Massachusetts protested then First Lady Barbara Bush. They said the school should have invited a speaker known for her accomplishments, not those of her husband. While those protests were peaceful, some university leaders are concerned about possible violence this year. Some Jewish students say they feel unsafe at their schools. The University of Chicago Project on Security and Threats published a report in March about fear at U.S. colleges. The report said that more than half of Muslim and Jewish students felt personal danger in the past year. The Anti-Defamation League is a nonprofit organization that fights hatred of Jews. The group recently sent a letter to college and university presidents asking them to take clear and decisive action to make sure graduation ceremonies succeed. One of the commencement speakers who might face protesters is President Joe Biden. He is expected to speak at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia, and the U.S. Military Academy at West Point in New York State. Statements from university leaders, policy changes to prevent student protests, and even arrests have not made a difference. One expert believes that students are correct to be upset about the actions of their university leaders. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is a lawyer and an official with the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Mitchell spoke about the cancellation of the student speech at USC. He said he was concerned that the school would not choose a qualified, visibly Muslim student who advocates for Palestine to avoid what happened at USC.
At USC, the news that Asna Tabassum, a South Asian American Muslim, would not be permitted to give her commencement speech on May 10th, led to days of protests.
Then on April 25th, USC said it would cancel the main part of its graduation ceremony, where Tabassum would have spoken and other well-known people would have appeared. The rest of the graduation activities will happen as planned, the school said.
Schools are going to do more harm than good if they try to censor and silence commencement speakers, Mitchell added. Other protests are demanding that schools cut ties to Israel or companies that support Israel's war effort. This includes companies that manufacture weapons sold to Israel. Students also want professors to stop taking money from the Israeli government if their research could be used for military technology. Mahmoud Khalil is a student protest leader at Columbia University. He said students have been asking the university to sell its investments related to Israel since 2002. Some pro-Palestine protesters at MIT said the university has received $11 million from Israel's defense ministry in the last 10 years. Quinn Perrion is a second-year student at MIT and the leader of a Jewish student group calling for a ceasefire. Perrion called MIT complicit, adding that colleges should be held responsible for the part they play in the war. At the University of Michigan, students said the university invests with companies that then invest in Israeli businesses. The university said only a small percentage of the money it invests goes to Israeli businesses, and most of it is done indirectly. Students at Yale, Harvard, and Emerson College in Boston are all asking that their schools make their investments public. They want to know where the school's money goes and whether it supports Israel's military. Owen Buxton studies movies at Emerson College. Buxton was one of about 80 people present at a protest on school grounds. He recently spoke to the Associated Press, saying he did not plan to leave the protest. "I would love to go home and have a shower," Buxton said, "but I will not leave until we reach our demands or I am dragged out by police." I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Anna Mateo. And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. Sometimes in life, we have to break bad or difficult news to friends, family members, work partners, and sometimes even strangers. Some people may do this indirectly. They may want to soften the immediate effect the news will have on the person. We might tell only part of the truth. When we do this, we are pulling our punches. But there are other times when we do the opposite. We speak directly, presenting the hard facts and little else. We might do this in emergencies, when facing danger, or other times when the complete truth is required. In these cases, we are not pulling any punches. When someone does not pull any punches, they say things that might be hurtful or frightening. They know the information may be troubling, but the information is usually thought to be more important than the unease it may cause. If you don't pull punches, you speak your mind. You tell it like it is. You don't mince words or sugarcoat the truth. Mincing words means to soften or weaken your words, especially for the sake of being polite. Some people mince words when they are afraid to tell someone the truth. And if you sugarcoat something, you make it sound more pleasant or acceptable than it really is. People who don't pull punches can also be called straight-talking, blunt, or frank. In fact, sometimes we use blunt and frank when we break bad or difficult news to someone. We might say, "Look, I need to be frank with you," or, "I hate to be blunt, but..." And then you're blunt. You don't pull your punches. When talking with this kind of person, we always know where we stand. We never have to guess. This can be a good thing. However, when we are on the receiving end of a person who doesn't pull any punches, we also need a thick skin. Much of what we may hear might hurt a little, or a lot. Just as a thick skin protects some animals from attacks, it also protects people from hard, cold truths that are hard to hear. But with a thick skin, we can better absorb the punch of tough news. When you don't pull any punches, you also act without restraint or limitations. You don't hold back. You are all in. The phrase to not pull any punches comes from boxing. If you pull a punch in the boxing ring, it means you restrain your power. You purposely hit your opponent with less force than is possible. Word experts say that in the 1930s, people began to use this phrase more widely. These days, you can pull your punches or not pull any punches in just about any situation. Now let's hear two friends use this phrase and related terms in a short conversation.
Okay, here is my movie script. Oh, wow, you finished it. Congrats. Now, I really need some outside opinions. I'm way too close to the material. That is a great idea, but I don't think I'm the person to ask.
Why? You have really good taste in films, and I know you'll tell me like it is.
That's the problem. I am brutally honest. It's impossible for me to pull any punches.
That's exactly what I need. Honesty. Tell me what you really think. Don't hold anything back.
You say that now, but when you hear my criticisms, you may feel differently.
No way. I have a really thick skin. It's impossible for a little criticism to hurt my feelings.
Okay, I'll read it and give you my notes, but the last person who asked me to read her manuscript still isn't talking to me.
Oh, wow. You really don't pull any punches, do you?
You've been warned.
Do you have a similar expression in your language? Let us know in the comments section. Or send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
Thanks, Ana. We'll be back in just a moment to hear a little bit more about this interesting English phrase.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Ana. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast. Ana Mateo is here today to tell us about people who do not mind telling the truth. Isn't that right, Ana?
That's right, Dan. This week, we are talking about pulling your punches. or in this case, not pulling your punches. When we use this expression, however, we often say, don't pull any punches.
Anna, we have talked about a lot of things on the Learning English podcast over the years, but I'm not sure if we've talked about punching. Where does this phrase come from?
Well, experts believe that this expression goes back almost 100 years, when boxing was really popular. People started saying boxers who delivered their punches without full effort were pulling their punches. This means they were punching, but not as hard as they could. They weren't going for the knockout punch.
Okay, so I see how this phrase makes sense during a big boxing match at a place like Yankee Stadium in New York City. But why are we talking about it today?
That's because when someone describes another person as someone who doesn't pull any punches, they mean that person tells the truth without anything to soften the blow. They are blunt. They are direct. And in some situations, this is really important. There may not be time to beat around the bush or mince your words. These both mean you take a long time to say what you want, or you avoid some hard truths.
Okay, so the other day I came home with a haircut from a new barber, and let's say it was not perfect. I was a little worried that it was too short, but when I came home and my wife saw me, she didn't pull any punches.
Oh, what did she say to you?
Well, it's not what she said, but it was the look on her face. I could tell she did not like it. She wasn't able to keep a straight face. She actually started laughing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was that bad.
And what did you do about it?
Well, I started looking for another place that cuts hair. I needed some help. I contacted a hair person at a nearby salon and explained the situation, and he was able to help me. My hair is now very short, but it looks much better.
That's great. You're lucky your wife did not mince words. Otherwise, you'd be walking around for weeks with a really bad haircut.
That's true. I'm grateful she told it to me straight and didn't sugarcoat her opinion. I got it fixed and made a date to come back for another haircut in June.
It sounds like you're in good shape.
Yes. Now I just have to find some good clothes to go with my new haircut. I hope I don't come home to more laughs after I go shopping.
We all need someone who does not pull any punches. They tell it like it is.
Thanks for listening to my story, Anna. It's always good to talk with you.
You're welcome, Dan, and good luck with the shopping and your haircuts.
Thanks, Anna. It's always great to have you on the show. On today's podcast, we also heard from Dan Novak. He told us about scientists who recently demonstrated a small robotic camera at a conference in Canada. The device is known as a PillBot, and it acts like a small submarine, traveling through the body and taking pictures of your digestive system. Let us know if you would be interested in getting this kind of look at the inside of your body. Then we heard from Brian Lynn, who told us about satellite images that show nearly half of China's major cities are sinking. Researchers say this puts millions of people at flood risk. But China is not the only place where buildings are sinking. The problem exists in Indonesia, too. After that, Anna Mateo helped me with the Higher Education Report. We talked about concerns American universities have about protesters disrupting the end-of-year ceremonies called graduation. Then, Anna joined me again to talk about pulling punches. You can find more from Anna, Ashley, and everyone else on Instagram. Be sure to visit us at VOA Learning English.
thanks to all of my VOA colleagues who helped me with today's program.
Most importantly, thank you for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedel.